Hello, everybody. How are you? Carl? Hi. Nice to see you.
Can you tell us a little bit about your meeting with former Santorum co-chairman Sam Clovis and what that means for your campaign? And while you're at it, why Dubuque next door to Wisconsin, sir?
Well, we've had so many requests, and they want us in Iowa. And as you know, we had some tremendous polls come down today from New Hampshire, where we're 35%. And if you look at the Gravis poll, that was at 40% nationally. We've had just an amazing array. In South Carolina, we're 30 or 32%. So we had about four polls come down, including the Corn Kernel poll, which is very important. And that was a total landslide. So we're very happy with that. Sam Clovis, in fact, I think he's probably someplace in the room. Where is Sam? Why don't you answer the question yourself, Sam? Would that be better, Carl? I think so, right? Come on up, Sam. Maybe you come up to the mic. Thank you. And a terrific guy.
What was the question again, Carl?
The question was, what was the purpose of your meeting with Mr. Trump today, and what does your joining his campaign look like as a prospect, and what would it mean to him?
Well, I think it's to finalize the arrangements that we have, and I'm here as the new national co-chair and senior policy advisor for Mr. Trump in this campaign, and I'm excited about the opportunity and the chance to change the status quo in America, and I think he's the man that can do it. That's why I'm here.
Mr. Clovis, you've been the chair in Iowa for Kerry's campaign.
Yes.
Governor Kerry has been one of the most aggressive candidates in attacking Mr. Trump.
Yes.
I'm curious why you left the Kerry campaign to go join Mr. Trump.
Well, I think that you'd have to talk to the Kerry folks about what's going on with their campaign. I think for a lot of us, the situation was that more than 2 weeks ago, we were asked to, if we would continue without pay in those circumstances. And I think they were having to go back and restructure the campaign. And I felt it was the honorable thing to do for Governor Perry. I think the world of him is to step aside so I wouldn't have to be part of the calculus of figuring out how to get me back on board and those kind of things. And as such, I had an opportunity to look at other situations, and this is a situation that presented itself, and I'm very very happy and very proud to be here.
Mr. Trump has a question about immigration. Your immigration plan.
Okay, who's next? Yeah, please.
Mr. Trump, I have a question.
Excuse me, sit down. You weren't called. Sit down.
No, sit down.
Sit down. Go ahead.
I have the right to ask a question.
No, you don't. You haven't been called. Go back to Univision.
No,
go ahead.
You cannot deport 11 million.
Go ahead.
From, you cannot deport 11 million people. You cannot build a 1,900-mile wall. You cannot deny citizenship to children in this
Sit
country.
Down, please. You weren't called.
I'm a reporter, and I have I don't touch me, sir. Don't touch me.
Go.
You cannot touch me. I have the right to ask a question.
Yes, you need the order.
I have the right to ask a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Trump.
Hi, Chip, yes.
Roger.
No, I wouldn't do that. She actually should be apologizing to me, but I would not do that, no.
Why does she need to apologize to you?
Because I thought her questioning and her attitude was totally inappropriate. So it just, well, if you look, all you have to do is look on the internet today and you'll see who people favor in that one. But I wouldn't, it's a very small element in my life, Megyn Kelly. I don't care about Megyn Kelly, but no, I would not apologize. She should probably apologize to me, but I just don't care.
If it's a small
yes, Katie, go ahead. Yes.
Virginia and North Carolina are all thinking about mandating a pledge to have the nominee on the ballot support the eventual nominee.
Right.
Will you sign that pledge?
Well, I just heard about it today, and we're looking at it. We certainly have plenty of time because that doesn't come due for a long period of time. But we certainly have September 30th. Yeah, we certainly have a long period of time to think about it. So we're thinking about it. And look, and I say it to everybody, we're leading every poll. We're leading every state. From Iowa to New Hampshire to South Carolina to North Carolina, polls have come in from virtually every place, and we're leading every place. We're doing incredibly nationally. The one poll came out today at 40%. It was over 40%. So my whole desire is just fairness, and I want to run as the Republican nominee. I want to win. I think we will win. We have tremendous spirit in this party. I've been contacted by so many people that haven't voted for years, They haven't voted for years. They love the Republican Party, but they haven't wanted to vote. And they're going to be out there and they're energized. We're going to win. And so I don't think it's going to matter because I think I'm going to get the nomination. And I think we're going to go on to win and we're going to make America great again. So that's all that matters to me. Well, I didn't say that, but I will certainly consider it. And we have a lot of time to worry about it. Yes. I don't know. I mean, I don't know really much about him. I don't believe I've ever met him, except he started screaming, and I didn't escort him out. You'll have to talk to security, whoever security has escorted him out. But certainly he was not chosen. I chose you. I chose other people to answer. I mean, you're asking me questions. He just stands up and starts screaming. So, you know, maybe he's at fault also. But I don't consider that. I mean, somebody walked him out. I don't even know where he is. I don't mind if he comes back, frankly. Yes, yes. No, I'm not. I've done some meet and greets, but I don't care if anybody, you know, we have a small group where people, I guess it's over here, where people can send in. One woman sent in $7 and 30 some odd cents and wrote a beautiful letter, and people are sending in $10 and $20. And I like that kind. It's not a lot of money, ultimately, but I'm not doing anything about raising money. I don't care about raising money. I mean, part of my thing is that, frankly, I'm not controlled by anybody. These other people are raising hundreds of millions of dollars. I could do that very easily. I don't want to do that. It's not necessary for me to do that. The one up in New Hampshire is just a very small ticket item. And by the way, they can come in free. They can do whatever they want. And for me, it's just a meet and greet. It's going to take place in New Hampshire and I think in Massachusetts. And it's just a very small situation. And I don't consider it a fundraiser. In fact, people don't have to even pay. They're just people that have been supporting me from the beginning. They're terrific people. They want to see good things happen for our country. So I could do fundraisers, raise millions and millions of dollars. And as you know, I haven't done that, nor do I want to do that. Okay? But I do meet and greets. I mean, I have to meet people, and that's part of what I'm doing. And I'll be in New Hampshire. I'll be in Massachusetts. I'll be in South Carolina. I'll be in Dallas in a couple of weeks. We're going to be all over. Okay? Yes. Because he was out of order. I would take his question in 2 seconds, but he stood up and started screaming.
So would you let him back in now?
I told you already. If he wanted to come back in, I'd love to have him come. But you can't just stand up and scream. I was saying to somebody else, too, is that correct? I was saying, yes. And this guy stands up and starts screaming. He's obviously a very emotional person. Okay, so I have no problem with it. I don't know him. I have no idea, but I would certainly love to have questions from him. Yes, 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 sir, go ahead. Her college what?
Her college affordability plan.
Yes. We're coming out with a plan in about 4 weeks, and I think it's going to make people very, very happy. We have so many people and going all over the country. I've been asked so many times by students, what are we going to do? And, you know, the ultimate answer is create jobs, because the biggest problem is they have college debt. They have debt all over the place, right up to their neck, and they come out and they can't get a job in this country. Whether it's China or Japan or Mexico, they're all taking our jobs, and we need jobs in our country. It's enough with what we're doing with foreign trade. So I think I think that's one of the reasons we're leading by so much in the polls, because people know that I'm going to make good trade deals. It's not going to be this horrible situation where we get nothing. You know, if you think about China, they took our jobs, they took our money, they took our base, they took our manufacturing, and we owe them $1.4 trillion. How do you figure that? It's like a magic act. We owe them $1.4 trillion right now. We owe Japan $1.4 trillion, same amount, two countries. And they sell cars to us by the millions. And we owe them money. How do you figure that? So we're going to turn that around. Yes.
Experts have said that this campaign, when all is said and done, should cost about $1 billion for any candidate. You have a lot of money, but ultimately just $300 million in liquid assets. At some point,
well, well, you saw my income is almost $500 million a year. If I want to, I can do that. At some point, the Republican Party, once you get the nomination, is going to kick in, and a lot of money will come into the campaign, I would say.
Will you be beholden to those interests?
I don't think so. I can tell you right now. In fact, I've told people I turned down, and I sort of made that. I think I told you this. Last week, the week before last, a lobbyist, a person, very good person, came to me, offered $5 million. Please, I want to give you $5 million for the campaign. I said, I have no interest in taking it. In fact, it's the first time I think he's ever been turned down. He told me, I think it's the first time he's ever been turned down. Because I know this person, good person, smart, tough. He'll be coming to me, and he'll be saying in 2 years, in 1 year, in 4 years, he'll be representing a country, maybe a company, or maybe a person. I'm not doing anything for him. So I said, I don't want to embarrass you by taking your money and then saying I'm not going to see you. I'm working for one thing, for the people, and we're going to make the country strong and rich and great. And I hate to say rich, but we're a poor nation. We owe now $19 trillion. It's actually much more than that. But it's $19 trillion. We're going to get things back in shape. This country is going to be so strong and so great, and you're going to be so proud of it. So when he offered $5 million, I know that he's going to be coming, and it's going to be adverse to the interests of the people of this country. So I didn't take his money. Yes, sir. I watched him, by the way, and he had a very small crowd. He had very little enthusiasm. He's a very low-energy person. You need a lot of energy to get this country turned around, including immigration. And the word immigration and illegal immigration, you wouldn't even be asking this question if it weren't for me. Because when I came out and when I announced, I'm the one that started this whole thing. And I took a lot of flack the first 2 weeks, and now all of a sudden everyone's apologizing to me. I mean, people in this room are apologizing to me because I brought something up that's very, very serious. I brought up the crime. I brought up all of the things that have happened since, including Kate, who's this wonderful person from San Francisco with an incredible family who I got to know a little bit, and Jamil, who was gunned down by an illegal immigrant, and so many others. The other day in California, a 66-year-old veteran, okay, 66-year-old veteran was raped, sodomized, beaten, and killed by an illegal immigrant. And that's a few of the many. It's a big problem. So you ask the question, Jeb Bush doesn't have a clue, doesn't even have a clue. And if I weren't in this campaign, Jeb Bush would not be talking about illegal immigration. If you remember, he said they come as an act of love, okay? Tell that to the families. And there are many, many, many families who lost a loved one. Act of love. Okay? There's no act of love. It's tough stuff. It's mean stuff. And it's going to be taken care of. You know, a lot of the gangs that you see in Baltimore and in St. Louis and Ferguson and Chicago, do you know they're illegal immigrants? They're here illegally. And they're rough dudes, rough people. They're going to be gone so fast if I win that your head will spin. They're going to be gone so fast, okay? Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Healthcare question.
Right.
Where do you stand on funding for Alzheimer's right now? You know, it's a 6-leading cause.
Right, sure. I'm very strong toward funding for Alzheimer's and helping. It's a terrible situation, and they haven't made much progress, unfortunately, but I'm very, very strong in trying to find an answer for Alzheimer's. Big problem. Yes, sir. No. I said TV, I said newspapers, I read the Wall Street Journal, I read the New York Times, I read many, many newspapers, I read many magazines. I even read especially Time magazine this particular week. You know why? Because I'm on the cover. That's why I read it. But I read a lot about that. I read, and I have people that I like and people that I respect, and it's a great place. You get a cross-section of everybody. Because you see people that you'd really never have the opportunity to see or meet, and then from there you go and decide what you want to do. But go ahead.
Are you assembling, though? Do you have a group of
I do.
Circle of people in New York?
I do. They'll be announced over the next 2 or 3 weeks.
And my second question is, do you have any plans to travel overseas, to London, Berlin, anywhere,
That would be possible. But to be honest with you, you know, this country is in such trouble. Our infrastructure is crumbling. Our roads, our bridges, our airports, we are in such trouble that I'm going to spend a lot of time here. We're going to fix our country. Our bridges, 59% of our bridges are in trouble. Think of, whoever heard of that? I mean, in trouble, serious trouble. We're going to fix our country. I'm going to spend a lot of time right here in the United States. Yes, sir. Well, I like Scott Walker. I've always liked him, and I supported him. I actually gave him quite a bit of money. I liked his fight. I liked his drive. And he actually came to my office 6 months ago, gave me a trophy, gave me a beautiful plaque. And I thought that was very nice. And in the end, I think people see, though, that what's happening in Wisconsin, I love the people of Wisconsin. I know Wisconsin well. I have friends that live there, and they're incredible people. But if you look at what's going on in Wisconsin, I think people saw that they have a $2.2 billion budget deficit. It was supposed to be a surplus of a billion. That's a tremendous surplus. They're borrowing to a point that nobody thought possible. They're ranked number 38 in the states, which isn't exactly a good ranking, better than others that are running. But frankly, it's not a good ranking. And they have a lot of problems. And there's a lot of division in the state, to put it mildly. And I think people, I do like Scott, but I think people have seen what's happened in the state. And he was, you know, the first, when I first announced, I was second, and he was first. I think I was at 10%, and he was at 22%. Now I think I'm at 22 or 24%, and he's at 6%. I think what happened is people have really looked seriously at what's going on in Wisconsin, and that has not been helpful to him, unfortunately. Yes, yes, go ahead. Well, I do retweets, and I mean, to a certain extent, I do, yeah. Like, I think that's right. You want me to say no? I retweet. You know, I retweet for a reason, right? Go ahead.
Evangelical vote is so important, the Christian vote during the primary.
Yeah.
In Mobile, you said, next to the Art of the Deal, the Bible is your favorite book.
That's right.
Is there anywhere in the Bible that you really relate to, that you can compare your life to, that you look up to?
Nobody that I would compare to. That is so, it's such a, it's actually a great question. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. I'm a Protestant. I'm a Presbyterian. I went to Sunday school. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, the Power of Positive Thinking, was my pastor. He was, to this day, one of the great speakers I've ever seen. You hated to leave church. You hated when the sermon was over. That's how great he was, Marble Collegiate Church. And I also had a church in Jamaica, Queens, when I grew up in Queens. And it was wonderful, First Presbyterian Church of Jamaica. And I was there for years. And that's where I went to Sunday school. And, you know, one of the things that's so incredible about the New Hampshire numbers is I lead with everybody. I lead with old, with young, as you saw. You saw it, everybody. But one of the groups I lead with substantially, evangelicals. And I've led with, in Iowa, too, with the evangelicals, because they get it. They're incredible people that are really smart, and they want to see our country thrive. And but the beautiful thing, because it was such a comprehensive poll in New Hampshire, and they just went over everything. Tea Party, like, leading by a lot. Moderates leaving by a lot. Everybody. I think, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I led with every single group and by substantial numbers. So I was very honored to lead with the evangelicals. I love the evangelicals. Okay. Yes. Good. Absolutely. Good. Absolutely. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So here's the problem with your immigration plan. It's full of empty promises.
Okay.
You cannot deport 11 million undocumented immigrants. You cannot deny citizenship to the children in this country. You cannot build a 90.
Why do you say that?
You cannot do that.
Well, a lot of people think, excuse me.
You have to change the Constitution.
But a lot of people think that's not right, that an act of Congress can do it. Now, it's possibly going to have to be tested in courts, but a lot of people think that if you come and you're on the other side of the border, I'm not talking about Mexico, somebody on the other side of the border, a woman is getting ready to have a baby, she crosses the border for one day, has the baby, all of a sudden, for the next 80 years, hopefully longer, but for the next 80 years, we have to take care of the people. I don't think this, I don't think so. Excuse me, some of the greatest legal scholars, and I know some of the television scholars agree with you, but some of the great legal scholars agree that that's not true. That if you come across, excuse me.
Deporting
Yeah, just one second. No, no, I am answering. If you come across for one day, and you have a baby, now the baby is going to be an American citizen. There are great legal, excuse me, there are great legal scholars, the top, that say that's absolutely wrong. It's going to be tested. Okay? Very easy. I'm a builder. That's easy. I build buildings that are 94. Can I tell you what's more complicated? What's more complicated is building a building that's 95 stories tall. Okay? You think so? Really? Well, I don't think so. A lot of people don't think so. I don't believe that. Okay, you're right. I don't believe it. And the drugs come. I see them cry. They have pictures. They have everything. Crawling over the fences, which are, by the way, this high. I mean, you have fences that are not as tall as I am. Well, they're coming by many different ways. But the primary way they're coming is being right through, right past our border patrols, who, by the way, are tremendous people. And they can do the job, but they're told not to. Here's what we're going to do. Ready? Okay. No, no. Let me tell you. We're going to do it in a very humane fashion. Believe me. I have a bigger heart than you do. We're going to do it in a very humane fashion. The one thing we're going to do. Okay. The one thing we're going to start with immediately are the gangs and the real bad ones. And you do agree there are some bad ones. Do you agree with that, or do you think everyone's just perfect? No, no, no. I'd ask you a question. Do you agree with that? We have tremendous crime. We have tremendous problems. I can't deal with this. Listen, we have tremendous crime. We have some very bad ones, and I think you would agree with that, right? Okay, there are a lot of bad ones, real bad ones, because, you know, they looked at some of the gangs in Baltimore, they looked at some of the gangs in Chicago, they looked even in Ferguson. They got some rough, illegal immigrants in those gangs. They're getting out. You mind if I send them out? Now, if they come from Mexico, do you mind if I send them back to Mexico? No, no, do you mind if I send them back to Mexico? Okay, those people are out. They're going to be out so fast your head will spin, all right? The rest we're going to do, and remember, you use the word illegal immigrant.
No, I didn't use the word.
Okay, well, you should use it, because that's what the definition is.
No human being is illegal.
Okay, well, when they cross the border, from a legal standpoint, they're illegal immigrant when they don't have their papers. And I want to make it possible, and I think you'll like this. This is the part you're going to like. I want these people, the good people, I want them to come back, and I want them to get documentation and get this so they become legal. It's going to be, you know what it's called? Management. So you're not used to good management because you're always talking about government. Let me just tell you, wait. Government is incompetent. Guys like Bush and some others that I won't name, they're incompetent people. They don't have it. I agree, they can't do it. But I'm a great manager. I know how to manage things. I hire unbelievable people. When I look at the vets, when I look at the VA, we spend billions of dollars, and people are treated horribly, okay, horribly. That'll work great. What we're doing here will work great. And we want to get good people back in. And also, let me just tell you. I've given you specifics. Great management, and they're going to hopefully come back in very soon. Okay, another question? No, wait. Yes, go ahead. Yes, sir. Money in politics? Well, I think there should be, frankly, more transparency. Because I see a guy like Jeb Bush with $114 million, which is now higher, and nobody even knows who put the money in. And they all control him like a little puppet. Okay? I know half of the people. I mean, I don't know who they are because I can't find it out, but as soon as I do, I will know most of them. They're friends of mine. I used to be there. I used to be the king at that, okay? I know the system better than anybody. The fact is that whether it's Jeb or Hillary or any of them, they're all controlled by these people. And the people that control them are the special interests, the lobbyists, and the donors. And they're controlled. You know what the nice part about me? I don't need anybody's money. I mean, if a woman sends me the $7, I take it. Because that's great, because she's investing in this country in a proper way, not in an improper way. But I don't need money. It's a beautiful thing. So nobody's going to. So if I say that I don't want Ford building, in this case, in Mexico or someplace else, in all fairness, China, I want him to build here. I'm not going to be hit by the Ford lobby and by all the other lobbies that you know who they are better than I do. They're not going to hit me because they didn't give 10 cents to my campaign because I don't want their money. So it's very important. I don't know about the limits. I think the most important thing is transparency. You have to know who you're dealing with. And right now, you don't. You don't. And I'm talking about PACs, in all fairness. I have a lot of good friends. They like to put money into PACs. Many friends, some enemies too, by the way. But I have many friends. They put money into PACs. And you need transparency. You need to know who's putting up what. So when they start making deals in a year or 2 years or 3 years, you know what's happening. Okay, how about one more question? Go ahead. No, not at all. I never said that. No, I think most of them are good people. I love that question because, you know, hopefully maybe somebody. No, I think most of them are very good people. But they are here illegally. And we're a country of laws and we're a country of borders. We have to have a border. And we'll have a border. And we'll have a wall. And the wall's going to have a big, beautiful door where people can come in legally and also where we can bring talented people. We need that in the Silicon Valley. When somebody goes to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, the Wharton School of Finance, we send them out as soon as they graduate. They can't stay here. It's ridiculous. They want to be here. So then they go to their country, wherever it may be, whether it's Asia, Mexico, wherever it may be, and they compete against us. I don't want that. All right, how about one more then? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. In where?
In Wisconsin.
Yeah. In Wisconsin? I don't really don't know. I mean, I haven't gotten there. I would think we'd win Wisconsin. I mean, I have a great relationship with the people in Wisconsin, but, you know, I haven't started. I haven't been thinking about Wisconsin right now, and Governor Walker certainly has been. I don't know what the poll is. I know this. In Florida, they just came out with a poll, and I'm at 28, and Bush is much lower, and Senator Rubio, who's the sitting senator, is much, much lower. So, I don't know. I think I'll do very well in Wisconsin. I think so. Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Well, he came up. He wants to support my campaign. But then I said, oh, gee, he said some negative things about me. Then he comes up to my office 2-3 hours later. He wants to be a part of my campaign. But, you know, he's a hedge fund guy. And honestly, maybe the hedge fund guys won't like me too much. I know a lot about hedge funds. I also know how they're taxed better than he does. So maybe they won't because maybe they won't like me. You understand. But he came up. He wants to support me. He wanted to leave Walker to support me. But I didn't make it so easy for him. Okay, go ahead. I don't know. Look, I have a lot of respect for Roger. We'll see. I mean, you know, maybe, maybe not. I really don't know. Look, I think they cover me terribly. Fox News, I think they cover me terribly, and I'm winning by double digits on every poll, so I don't know. Maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't. I don't think I get good treatment from Fox. They certainly cover me a lot. Well, I'm being covered by everybody. I don't know. I don't think so, because I think they give me very bad treatment. I think Fox treats me terribly. And a lot of the people that like me think they treat me terribly. But I don't think, I mean, why? Do you think I was asked nice, easy questions? The other guys are saying, what are you going to do about jobs? Another one saying, do you love God? Another one says something else. I get these questions like, what's going on here? And yet I won in every single poll of the debate. I won. I won from Drudge. I won in Time Magazine. I won everybody thought I won the debate. But I certainly had the worst questions, the most unfair questions. And, you know, I like Fox. I like it. But, no, I think they treat me very poorly. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that, sure.
The strategy behind the Twitter fights? Why not?
The which?
The Twitter fights, the late night tweeting about Megyn Kelly or Lindsey Graham.
It takes 2 seconds. You do a couple of tweets. Because when people treat me unfairly, I don't let them forget. And maybe we should have more of that in this country. And maybe the country wouldn't be pushed around so much. Go ahead. Sure, hurry. I think so, because I'm going to bring jobs back.
But the truth is, I've seen the polls, the Univision polls say 75% of Latinos.
How much am I suing Univision for right now? No. Do you know the number?
That's
no. Tell me.
Question,
tell me. Do you know the number? And you know you're a part of the lawsuit. How much am I suing Univision for?
The question is, Mr. Trump.
Wait.
I'm a reporter.
It's $500 million.
I'm a reporter.
Okay, good. And they're very concerned about it, I have to tell you. I'm very good at this stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
You're losing the Latino, 75% of
I don't think I will.
No, nationwide.
I haven't even started. Do you know how many Latinos? Okay. Do you know how many Latinos work for me? Do you know how many Hispanics are working for me? Okay. They love me. They love me. Do you know how many Hispanics work for me? Thousands. Do you know how many have worked for me over the years? Tens of thousands. Here's what happens. Once I win, you're going to see things happen. You know what they want? They want jobs. That's what they want. In Nevada, did you see the poll of the Hispanics in the state of Nevada? Did you see that? Excuse me. Big Hispanic population. I wiped everybody out. Hispanic. I won the poll. Excuse me. I'm not talking nationwide. I'm talking the only poll I saw. The one that came out, which was in the state of Nevada, I wiped everybody out. I wiped them out with Hispanics. You saw that, right? Did you see it? Wait, did you see it? Okay, he's an honest guy. Now I like him. Okay, you and I will talk. We'll have plenty. We're going to be talking a lot over the years. We will. Okay, thank you, everybody. I think about it myself. I like, very interesting, because a lot of people have been asking me, because in Alabama I got very high marks for a speech, and I honestly feel, and it's one of the things I'm going to talk about, I'm always on live television. And if you're on live television every 3-4 days, you got to say things different. Can't be on the same and give the same stories, right? I think about my speeches, and I don't believe in teleprompters, although it's very easy. Oh, would I like to go up and stand and read a speech for half an hour and just leave? But you know what happens? You wouldn't have sold-out crowds like we have outside. You wouldn't have 30,000 people like we had in Alabama. You wouldn't have the crowd that we had the other night in New Hampshire. You just wouldn't have it. It's not the same. In fact, I jokingly say, if you're running for president, you shouldn't be allowed to use teleprompters. So I think about my speeches a lot. I think about what I'm going to say. But I essentially don't use notes, and I definitely don't read the speeches, because I think it's much easier. But you know what happens? You don't have the same vibrance. You understand.
At night when you're on Twitter writing tweets, do you write them yourself?
I do a lot of things by myself. People would be surprised. People are shocked at how smart I am, right? Okay, thank you.